Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Before we get into the topic we're going to cover today, I want to cover just a little something concerning international banking and the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank. Now, several years ago, they were saying that the euro was going to replace the dollar as the reserve currency. And then they said, we need a basket of currencies. And it was Brazil, what they call the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, were demanding that the IMF come up with a basket of currencies, which included the dollar, foreign international reserve currency. Well, they never could get that going. And now at the present time, Europe is in very deep trouble concerning the euro and the economies there because of Greece and Spain and Portugal and Ireland and Italy. Now, while they set up a central bank, they did not set up a central banking system. What do I mean by that? I mean that they allowed all of the nations to continue to sell their own bonds for their countries. So that meant that they could go ahead and borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow, and now they are way above whatever limit they can be, so America, you better pay heed because we're getting close to the same thing. But our situation is different than in Europe. So what has happened, and the reason that the Germans are so against all of this, is because they're hardworking, they have an economy that is going well, and it is going to take the money that they have in euros to then buy the bonds from these nations. Now, let me explain the difference in the European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve, because this will help you understand why they can't get rid of the dollar yet. The difference is this. Europe cannot sell European euro bonds authorized by a central government in Europe, nor can they print money, that is, print euros, whenever they need them. So this means that they are very deficient in their monetary policy, and it may result in the collapse of the euro, is what they're afraid of at the present time. Just to let you know what kind of interest rate that Greece is looking at now for those who buy their bonds, they're looking at 16%. Plus, on a par basis, meaning for 100 euros, you can buy, or whatever the Greek national currency is or these other five nations' currencies are, they discount them, meaning that for 100%, you can buy 100% of the bond clear down to 84%, which theoretically means with that 16% discount, in the first year, if they make their 16% interest payment for the year, that the bondholder has made 32% already in the first year. Of course, that 16% discount then is amortized over the life of the whatever the bond is. Now, the Federal Reserve is entirely different, and it's an international bank separate from the United States. Even though it's called the U.S. Federal Reserve, that's like sending in a product made in China saying made in the USA. Has nothing to do with the government. It's just a facade. The Federal Reserve Bank is the richest entity in the world at the present time. The next richest entity is over in Basel, Switzerland, and that's called the Bank of International Settlements, or BIS. Next to that, then, is the IMF, which is 40 to 50% U.S. anyway. Now, what happens is Congress gets a budget, and then where are they going to get the money for it? Well, the money comes from taxes. Well, if they don't have enough taxes right now, we are borrowing 40 cents of every dollar we spend as a U.S. government. So what they do, they issue bonds or U.S. Treasury certificates. These Treasury certificates are sold on what they call an open market. Various people, countries, entities, banks, and so forth come in and buy the bonds. And they get a certain rate. Sometimes they're discounted, like I said, that happened to the Greek bonds. Sometimes they're at a premium. During all the collapse that was going on, the ups and downs in the last 2 weeks, there were 2 days in a row, maybe 3 days in a row, where the cost of a 30-year U.S. Treasury, rather than being par of 100%, were being purchased for 112%, meaning that they were paying a 12% premium in addition to the face value of the Treasury. Plus, they were only getting 4% interest, which then means in the first year, they lost 8%. Now, when the country gets in real trouble, then the bonds become less and they are discounted from par. And the interest rate rises. Now, let me tell you something why the U.S. Federal Reserve at this particular time is almost an impregnable financial institution. And impregnable, I mean that it is so strong that when Europe had the problems they had last week, the U.S. Federal Reserve was loaning money to Europe. And Rush Limbaugh heard this and he said, "How are they loaning money to Europe? They're printing it." No, they can print it. They can print dollars. And they do. But they didn't print the money for those loans. How do they do it then? Well, as an international separate entity bank, they run the Federal Reserve, just like any other bank, but no one can audit them. No one can know what they are doing. No one can find out how much money they actually have. All right, let's add in another thing that they have. They have set up, you know, buying stocks and bonds today. We've explained that. You only have beneficial use of those stocks listed in a digital account, which may be printed out on paper. But you don't own the stocks. A loyal title is held in the Depository Trust Corporation, which is wholly owned by the Federal Reserve Bank. And this will help you understand why the stocks have gone down, but they bring them right back up. They go down and bring them right back up. Because of the reserve requirement for lending by the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, the way banks lend is this. Okay? Let me finish this about the Depository Trust Company. All original debt certificates and stocks and bonds, government that they own, government securities that other corporations and banks own are all on deposit at the Federal Reserve. And they just do the digital buying and selling and accounting. Okay? It's just like you, if you bought a house and have a mortgage. You have beneficial use of the house, but you don't own the title, which are called alloidal rights. Same way with a car. If you buy a car and are making payments, the one who holds the note, the bank or the finance company, actually owns the car. But you have the beneficial right to use it as long as you make the payments. Okay. How do banks lend money? They do it on what is called reserve requirements. And that is, they look at their balance sheet and they look at what are assets. Now, all deposits in a bank are assets of the bank. All holdings that they have, whether beneficial or not, are also assets of the bank. Now, let's see how they lend. If they have a 10% reserve requirement, they can loan out 90% of their asset total. Not talking about monetary wealth, assets on the books. Okay? Now, when they make the loan, just take a $100,000 loan. When they make the loan, they loan $100,000, but they only have to keep 10% as reserve for that loan outstanding. Now, if the person they make the loan to takes the money and puts it into another bank, that $90,000 becomes part of their reserve. But if they redeposit it in the same bank they borrowed it from and issue checks on it, that $90,000 becomes, again, because it's a new note, an asset, and they can loan 90% of that. And likewise, they can do 90% of everything that they hold title to. Okay? Now, how much does the Federal Reserve have in assets to loan? Because I remember a hearing when they had Uncle Ben Bernanke up there, I think it was a little over a year ago, and he said, "Mr. Bernanke, what is this $500 billion transfer to New Zealand?" Gotcha. But he weaseled out of it. He said, "Well, these are just bank transfers and credits." Well, the Bank of New Zealand needed the $500 million because their reserves were low. All right? Where did they, not 500 million, 500 billion. No. What was it? 500 million? I think it was 500 million, not billion. Yeah. I mean, when you start dealing with M's and P's and T's and so forth, you know, it's kind of hard to figure. You know, like the billionaire was asked by someone, he said, "Well, how do you keep track of your money?" He said, "I just eliminate the zeros." Okay. Let's look at the asset potential of the Federal Reserve Bank and let's see why they can rescue the whole world if necessary. Between that and the BSI in Switzerland, and also know Basel, Switzerland is a sovereign entity within the sovereign state of Switzerland. They are not subject to the laws of Switzerland. They are not subject to the international laws unless they make an agreement to be subject to their laws, just like the Federal Reserve here. See? What are the total assets that the Federal Reserve has? All right. Number one, they control the gold in Fort Knox, if there is any left, which we don't know. And every time someone brings up the thing, "Well, how much gold is in Fort Knox?" We get these pictures which go clear back to the 40s, showing them how they handled the gold bars and put them in compartment to compartment and so forth. Plus, they have the crown jewels from Eastern Europe there in storage too, so that becomes an asset. During World War II, they had all the crown jewels of England. So that was an asset. Okay? Everything in the Depository Trust Corporation is an asset. What is the total amount of stocks and bonds that they have? $24 trillion. Plus they hold about $7 trillion in U.S. Treasury bonds. Okay, so that makes it $31 trillion. How much gold is there? We don't know, but let's put $10 trillion on that. So that's $41 trillion. Let's be very penurious and only add $9 trillion more on that for any other notes that they hold as assets, bringing it to a total of $50 trillion. Now, how much money at a 10% reserve can you loan without multiplying the return on deposit back to the bank? $4.5 quadrillion just on that. Now you understand why they can't do in the dollar. No one has the capacity to match the power of the Federal Reserve. And whenever there's a global downturn, who do they turn to help them? The Federal Reserve. And every time they loan out, they gain an asset. So you see what this system really is. Now, eventually, it will collapse. Eventually, there will be a world currency, and we have already talked about that. So at that time, all the central banks will pool their reserves together, and they will be able to establish a one world currency. Now, it's like in the book, the day after the dollar crashes. And if you want that book, you can get it on Amazon.com. There will be paper money, coin money, and digital money. So this is why they hold a chokehold on every financial system in the world. The Chinese are not that powerful. Stop imports and they collapse. The Germans are probably the next most powerful to the United States, but they don't have the ability on their own to do what the Federal Reserve can do. So that'll give you a little insight on the Federal Reserve Bank and what they do and why no one can find out. Now, Ron Paul has been calling for, what, 20 years for an audit of the Federal Reserve? He's not going to get it, because there's one thing that is true. The one who owns the gold or has the money makes the rules. So how are you going to pass a law which demands that there is an audit? And even if they submitted to an audit, don't you think they have a second set of books ready for an audit that they can say, well, okay, here it is, and it has nothing to do with what they're really doing? It only shows a little portion of what they are doing. So if you think Bernie Madoff was a bad man, you haven't seen anything. So this is why they couldn't let the things collapse. But also know this, the super elite know when the market is going up, so they make money on that. They know when the market is going down, so they make money on that. And the super elite are the ones who, you might say, are the chief ones of the Committee of 300. If you've never heard of that, go online and look up Dr. John Coleman, download his information. Now, the super elite, in order to keep up on how much resistance there is by people in the world, they give information to Dr. John Coleman, and he writes his various things, and it goes out to a lot of people. The reason they do this is not for information for the general public, but to see the level of resistance that people have to it and the level of belief. They give him the information and they say, oh, no, that's not true. Now, let's come here to Luke 4 for just a minute. You've heard me say this before, but let's emphasize it again. Luke, the 4th chapter. And let's see what Satan said, because part of what we are going to cover today will be Satan's deception and the coming mark of the beast. All right, Luke 4. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. Up, oh, verse 3. Okay, there we go. Back up, get the contents. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread, which Jesus could. But is he going to obey God or Satan? That's the test. Okay? Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And Matthew has the full quote from Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? Now, this is referring to all mankind, not just to himself. Then, verse 5, the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This will help you understand who runs the world. Number one, Satan the devil. But Satan the devil has to work through human beings and human institutions as well. But notice what he says. The devil said to him, "I will give you all this authority and the glory of them." And the glory of them means everything that makes them what they are. Their money, their people, their institutions, their religions. Everything that they are. "For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire." Now, how is he going to determine who to give these things to? See? This is why today we have a fiat money system. In other words, devoid of any of the truth of God. It is worthless. It is an IOU. You look at any dollar, regardless of denomination, and it says, "This note is legal tender for debts, private and public." As long as everyone has a psychological value with that note, then it has value. But it doesn't have value like gold or silver or precious stones or platinum as we have it today. Okay? Notice how he would have received it. "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you, that is every man, not just himself, shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Now, no one can receive eternal life unless you worship God, the true God. Okay? Now, here's what is required. And there are people who worship Satan the devil directly. And these are the super elite, you might say the super, super elite of the world. And he only allows those into that top echelon of what you might say the committee of 300, because they're of the 300, not all of them are in the top echelon, who will be devoted and worship him. Notice what he told Jesus. "Then he led him to Jerusalem and set him on the edge of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written,'" yes, no, back to verse 7. "Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence," now the super elite do that, "and they are rewarded with wealth and power and prestige. And these are the ones who bring the governmental and financial message of Satan the devil to the world." He says, "All things shall be yours." Now, that means to worship him as God. And what is Satan called in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4? The God of this world. See? So this is why. If anyone has a thought that you can make the system better if you just elect the right people, it will never happen. They will never be allowed up into the level that operates the power of governments in this world unless you are totally devoted to Satan the devil. Regardless of what country it is, regardless of who you are. That's why in the world the wicked prosper, because it's Satan's world. That's why those who are Christians have tribulation in the world because we are fighting and warring and overcoming Satan the devil, and we don't belong to him. All the rest of the world, all the other people of the world except those who are called of God and have the Holy Spirit of God are dupes of Satan in various degrees, from total worship of Satan, devotedly as God, to the smallest man or woman, wherever they are, who are just part of the system and have been blinded by Satan the devil, and they don't have a clue as to where they're going. Now, I want you to understand how powerful then your calling is and how important it is that what God is doing with us, with his Spirit, so that we can be perfected and qualify through the power of God's Spirit by the way that Jesus Christ wants us to, who is the head of the church, and to take over the world when Christ returns. See? We're being prepared for that. Now, just a little caveat here that you need to understand. Because of that, the most important and primary thing in each one of our lives is our personal relationship through prayer and study with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And then living by God's way and developing the character of God. That's what he wants with us. So that when we are resurrected or transformed as spirit beings, we are not going to go astray and rebel like Satan the devil did. What is the 1 foot in the door or the nose under the tent that Satan likes to have within the churches of God? Stay with the organization. The organization becomes primary. And you mark these words every time that happens. The church becomes more of a social event, and the church becomes the center of things rather than God. And who is responsible for that kind of thing but the ministers in charge? Because Jesus said to Peter, remember that? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. See? Brethren do not belong to a church organization. When brethren who have the Spirit of God gather together, they constitute an assembly of the brethren and hence are part of the church of God. So we are going to see some dramatic things take place, like I have warned previously. And unless you have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ every single day, and you maintain that, and you understand salvation is individual, it is not corporate collective, meaning whatever you hear, stay with the organization, you better leave. Because that's the first step, nose under the tent, that Satan has within the church of God. And if you haven't learned a lesson to what happened when the church of God in Pasadena, Big Sandy, and Bricketwood collapsed because of sin, then you haven't learned anything, and you're going to be victimized again. The stakes are high, just like it was here with Jesus in his confrontation with Satan the devil. Now, let's see then how these things are going to take place. There we go. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back.